All right, it is Saturday, March 15th. My name is Larry Herbeck, Box Live's Major Nelson. This is show number 272. With me is E.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, E.
272?
Yep, 272. This show is actually going out a little bit early. It's going out Saturday because I'm going out of town, and I will tell you all about that towards the end of the show. Most of you who are frequent listeners of the show realize that I know I'm going out of town, but I'll explain what it means to you, the listener and blog reader, toward the end of the show. But welcome. Thank you for downloading the show. It's Saturday, March 15th when we're doing this. Actually, it's airing the 15th. We're actually recording this on Friday the 14th.
Yeah, because I don't intend to be in any shape to report a podcast on St. Patrick's
Day. Right, so we're actually doing this towards the end of the day on Friday as literally, I'm running out of town. But E, what do we have to talk about this week? First of all, I want to go through some interviews. I'm really excited to finally have, for the first time ever on my show, Peter Molyneux, who's going to talk about Fable 2.
That's a big deal, but I didn't realize Peter had never been on the show.
I have never had him on the show. And it's interesting because you haven't heard the interview yet. I recorded it a few days ago when he was in town, and I had to go downtown Seattle, and it was like he was so busy, he was so scheduled. I contacted him, and he's like, yeah, I only have like a half hour, 35 minutes between this and this. Come to my hotel. I'm not going to say what hotel it is, and I'll meet you there. And he met me in the lobby, and we recorded it in the lobby of the hotel. Now, which is great. The problem is, as one would have it, Murphy's Law, everything. Nothing went wrong with the recording. It's just like, okay, the garbage guy showed up. You know, all that stuff started happening, which you don't really think about until you're standing there with a microphone. So, apologies in advance. Just think of it as ambient noise.
There you go. It's the soundtrack to the Peter Molyneux.
It is the soundtrack. So he's got a lot of stuff going on with Fable. He's going to talk a little bit about that. Actually, he talks a lot about that. The funniest story, and you're gonna totally enjoy this story, is he's going to tell you why you were able to kick chickens in the first Fable.
Oh, okay. That I want to hear.
It is pretty funny. So that's coming up. I've got a couple other interviews as well. You can see those on your, if you've got your device, you can see the metadata on your device. It'll tell you what's going on there. I'm also putting the time on the interview so you can fast forward or rewind exactly to the point that you want to. So,
you know, I had a lot of friends that just played that game over and over again just to kick chickens.
Then they're going to enjoy this interview. E, what do we got going on? So this is, I said, we're recording this on Friday. In just a few hours, you and I are going to be going playing Frontlines Fuel of War with our good friend Jesse Alexander and the community.
That's right.
So the community event, you and I have talked about it for a few weeks. And we looked at the calendar and realized, well, wait a minute. You know, Trixie had set this up with Jesse. Why don't we just do it then?
Yeah, and it kind of snuck up on us.
Did it?
Okay, it snuck up on me. But thankfully, I did finally find my copy of Frontlines. So I'm actually
prepared. So you're finally
prepared,
good to go?
And yeah, I will not have as much time in the game as I wanted.
Right.
But I will be there.
Yeah. I played it this week a few days ago. I was playing it with KP. Knuckles Dawson, who's a Frontlines fan, was along, and we were all playing. It was actually 3-on-3 on the Solar Farm map, which is the biggest map.
Oh, wow. That's like 3-on-3 on Valhalla in Halo.
Yeah, it's crazy. And we actually did really well. We ended up beating the other team. There was a certain strategy that I'm not going to tell you about that I think we figured out with this game.
But you're going to tell me later.
I'll tell you later, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So actually, you know, it doesn't really matter because by the time people listen to this, the game will be over, so I'll tell you the strategy.
Okay.
What we did was, of course, as is well known, I like to fly the helicopters in that game, so I always play one of the heli pilots. And we were pushing the front line forward. We were on the Western Coalition team. And we were pushing, and we finally got to the last point, which is on their side, and it's right in their base. So we were in their base.
Okay.
I'm sorry, lolcat stuff is coming up in my head.
Well, at some point, I was waiting for, you know, and then all their base are belong to us.
Right. So we're in their base, and I'm hovering above way up high in the helicopter. And I was the squad leader, and as you're the squad leader, you can spawn in to the helicopter. You know, you can spawn in with the squad leader. So they were spawning into the helicopter with me and then immediately ejecting out and parachuting down.
Nice.
So that was
so
kind of our...
have to come across the map.
Right. So that was kind of our strategy. So I was hanging way, way up in the... as high as I could in the clouds. And then I'm like, all right, go, go, go. Boom. Of course, it would be better if I had one of the... they have one of the helicopters as a troop transport. Would have been better if we had that, but it doesn't matter. Because as soon as I spawned in, it was X, boom, gone, A.
So you found a way to camp in a helicopter.
That sounds so dirty. That doesn't sound right.
That's really
but
what
yeah,
it
I
was.
Guess you're right. You're right.
Yeah. Camping is a legitimate strategy.
So hopefully, you know, you and I are going to be playing that in a few hours. Hopefully we'll have fun. And there you go. So Look forward to playing that. Where Rainbow Six Vegas comes out
next week. It hits streets on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I've seen someone playing it online already. I want to hop on and join them.
Okay.
I mean, we've been fans of the Rainbow games for a long, long time.
Oh, sure we have. I mean, Rainbow Six on the Xbox, and specifically Xbox Live, it's kind of like Halo. It's obviously a totally different game, but I'm saying it's like one of those things that has just really brought the service along.
Yes. And there was a time back in, I want to say it was early 2004, Rainbow Six Black Arrow was the game. Right. That's what everybody was playing. And every time it's come out, we've spent quite a bit of time on Rainbow.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not like it? It's fun. So I love the cover system. So Rainbow's out this week. I want to go back. Actually, we're going to be a little scatterbrained. I apologize.
Wait. We're going to be scatterbrained on this show.
Yeah, I know.
Usually we just have it, you know, tight as a drum.
I have to apologize, though. Let me back up a little bit. For the past 4 or 5 days, I haven't talked to you about this. I've tried to cut caffeine out of my diet.
What?
Yeah.
Why would you do something like that?
Well, I was trying to cleanse my system because, as I said, I'm going away on a vacation next week with the family, and I was like, let me just start because I know I'm going to be eating on vacation, and I was trying to cut out one of these vices. And the other night, I posted this on my Twitter. I had this massive headache, and I was just a mess. And finally, Friday this morning, I started just downloading Diet Dr. Peppers, and so that's why I'm completely wired right
now.
Yeah,
if I tried to cut out caffeine, I don't think I'd be able to get out of bed for a week.
So that's why I'm a little wired this week. All right, but so last week I played Condemned to Bloodshot. Did you play any Condemned?
I played 5 minutes here in your office the other day. Other than that, I haven't had time.
E comes by the office, and I just threw the controller in his hand. It's very combat. There's a lot of combat in this. I don't remember that much combat in the original Condemned.
There was quite a bit of combat. The thing I remember about the original Condemned was just how immersive it was. It was the first Xbox 360 game to really freak me out.
Oh, yeah.
I was playing, this might have actually been just a little bit before the 360 shipped, but I was in my office, door closed, stereo turned way up, playing Condemned.
Right.
And I was really getting into the mood. I had the blinds closed and everything to make it feel, you know, like it should, like a good horror flick.
Scary.
And my character backed into a workbench.
Right.
And knocked a metal tray off the workbench, and it hit the ground and clattered.
And it scared the hell out of you.
I jumped up out of my chair and turned around. That's how into the game I was.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really looking forward to Condemned 2. Maybe this weekend I can find the time to give it a shot.
So that's up. What else do we have this week? Do we have anything else? We got, of course, the two, Bliss Island and Brain Challenge. Now, somebody mentioned this on the blog, and I went and looked at it. If you've seen any of the artwork for Brain Challenge, which is an arcade title, doesn't that look like the woman from Dead Rising?
Actually, I was thinking it almost looked like Kristen Bell from Assassin's Creed.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So it's just there's a doctor. Maybe it's just any blonde doctor in a lab coat with a clipboard looks like that.
It's not a bad look.
No, it's not a bad look at all. It's just like I looked at that and somebody brought that up and I'm like, hey, wait a minute, you're right. So if you don't know this, I actually have a blog at majornelson.com, which is a lot of people don't know this because they discover this show through iTunes. So that's why when I was talking about the blog, majornelson.com, and I post all sorts of marketplace stuff up there. I'll post anything interesting for tech, anything that's going on in Xbox. One of the things that's going on, and E, do you want to talk about this? Let me pull up the...
Which this?
This would be the Blu-ray this.
Oh, yes. There's been a lot of chatter about that.
So there's been questions, and, you know, is my... So I'm going to give you the Q, and then I'm going to give you the A. The question...
You're a full-service host.
That's exactly what I'm doing here. This is what you get here. So the question was, is Microsoft in talks with Sony or the Blu-ray Disc Association to add Blu-ray to the Xbox, to Xbox 360? Answer. let me just... Where's the paper? This is what's on the paper.
Did you open the secret envelope?
As the secret envelope says... Microsoft is not currently in talks with Sony or the Blu-ray Disc Association regarding integrating Blu-ray into the Xbox 360 experience. Let me repeat that for those of you that missed it. Microsoft is not currently in talks with Sony or the Blu-ray Disc Association regarding integrating Blu-ray to the Xbox 360 experience. Games are what are driving the consumers to purchase game consoles, and we remain focused on providing the largest library of blockbuster games available. And for our customers who want a premium movie experience, they can download them off of the video marketplace. That's kind of summarizing what's going on there. So
for the people who don't follow the blogs like crazy, like we do,
and
so many of the hardcore, what happened essentially was Steve Ballmer got up on stage and said, Microsoft's going to support Blu-ray. People forget that Microsoft is a really big company, and Microsoft supporting Blu-ray does not mean Xbox 360 is going to support Blu-ray.
So that's...
And, oh my God, that's frightening. Ew.
Yeah, Trixie's at the door. Apparently, she just walked by.
She just licked your window.
Thank you. So that's kind of, you know, when people were saying about Microsoft supporting Blu-ray, it's, of course, we're going to support it through the Windows side, which is a totally different part of the company. We're not currently in talks to support... actually, says, however, we're not in talks to support Blu-ray on the Xbox 360. So hopefully that will straighten folks out. Actually, big news this week was the price drop in Europe.
That was a big price drop.
Yeah, let's pull that up to make sure we have all the facts. Do you have that available right there, E?
I do not. I can try to go off the top of my head, but that's probably going to be dangerous.
No, I don't want you to go off the top of your head, because that's exactly what it would be dangerous.
Yeah,
it would be
the part that I do remember off the top of my head is that the arcade SKU is now less expensive than a Wii.
Yeah, that's really important. And if you look at the... and I actually put up a nice little grid, because, you know, all the press releases go out. And you'll notice when I make posts about this is I cut to the chase. I put up a grid. Here's the old price. Here's the new price. That's it. And then, of course, let the discussion in. So I'm not going to bury it inside a bunch of blah, blah, blah. So it's the €199 or £159.99. €199.99 or £159.99.
Why don't you just round it up?
Okay. €200 or £160 for the Xbox 360 arcade version. The standard Xbox 360 version is €270 or £200. And then the Elite itself is €370 or £260.
Even with the rounding, that's a lot of words.
Yeah, well, euros and pounds. Hey, UK, okay. Do you want me to UK, why don't you guys just go with the euro and make this simple? I'm sure there's a reason, and I'm going to get a ton of hate mail.
Well,
so
that was one of my favorite parts of the thread on the blog.
Right.
Was you posted this, and then it didn't take long for someone to say, well, gee, Microsoft, what about the UK? Why aren't you cutting the price there?
And clearly on the blog post, I said it was, you know, for instance, €199.99 and £159.99. I even had the little pound symbol in there, yeah. So I don't know how people miss that.
It was kind of funny.
And I even had the headline was price drop in Europe, and they're like, well, what about the UK?
Well, the inclusion of pounds should have been a giveaway.
You'd think so.
Some of your readers did figure it out.
Right. Some did. But so thank you. Thank you to my readers who were helping the ones who missed that. Thank you. I love the peer to peer support I have on my blog.
Yeah, actually. And I mean, the next step was there were a bunch of people upset that the U.S. price hadn't dropped.
Right.
And then people started pointing out, you know, comparing U.S. price to old price in Europe, new price in Europe. And by the end of the conversation, everyone was kind of, you know, electronically nodding and going, oh, okay, I get this.
Yeah, so that's good there. So the price drop this week was fairly good news for our good friends over there in Europe and the U.K. what else do we have? Let's see, we got Blu-ray. Do you want to talk about any of those things? We're looking at the whiteboard, and there's like five bullet points. He comes in, he says, well, we got to do a show today, because, like I say, normally we don't record it on Fridays.
Yeah, and it's been a crazy week, and I hadn't had much time to think about what we were going to talk about.
I recorded, what did I record this week? A few Inside Xboxes, because I'm going out of town next week, as I said, so I had to get ahead on that.
Right.
So that's always fun.
You did your Sirius show day before yesterday or something?
I did Sirius Radio. I'm on channel 159, which is Maxim. And that was the day after Elliot Spitzer came out and the day before he resigned. So obviously you can imagine a lot of phone calls were about that.
Oh, yeah.
To our good friends in New York.
Wow.
But Sirius Radio was always fun to do. We had a lot of folks on from, who do we have? We had actually somebody on from Sony. I didn't interview him, the other host.
Oh,
did.
That would have been funny.
So anyway, so if you're interested in some video games, give us a listen at 11 o'clock Pacific, 2 o'clock Eastern, channel 159. That is Maxim Radio.
So I don't think we video need games. To delve too much into the Spitzer news, but that does remind me of a related piece of news.
Yes.
That I think our listeners will find amusing.
Yes.
Did you read about the DA in Texas?
I did not.
So
district attorney.
Yes. So district attorney in Texas, he got caught building a quote-unquote backup computer in his office with taxpayer funds. The backup computer had 7 fans, blue neon lighting, very high-end graphic cards.
What was he building it for?
He built himself a top-of-the-line gaming PC at that taxpayer expense.
That's like $6,000 or $7,000 at least, I'm sure.
I don't remember what the total was, but it was clearly... this computer had no business use whatsoever.
For a district attorney.
Maybe he was trying to build something that could actually run Crysis. I don't know. But he got busted for it.
I did not see that. No, so because when you started the story, I'm like, uh-oh, he was downloading bad things onto his work computer. But that's not it at all. He was just building a badass work computer.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yep. So, doing that at taxpayer expense, probably not a real good idea.
Right. If you want to build something like that, why don't you come work on the Games for Windows team?
Yeah. Or, hey, Games for Windows guys, I need some hardware.
No, so. Why don't we, you and I have been going on here for a little bit, why don't we stop and we're going to run some of those interviews, including towards the last interview I'll roll is the Peter Molyneux interview where he is going to explain why he doesn't like chickens. All right, direct from Stockholm, Sweden is Carl Magnus, who's the senior producer on Battlefield Bad Company. Carl, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Thank you.
So I'm excited about Battlefield. I was a big fan of it on the original Xbox and obviously on PC for many years. What can we expect from the new Battlefield Bad Company?
Well, Battlefield Bad Company is the first time we in the Battlefield franchise has both single player and multiplayer. So we worked a lot on the multiplayer, but we also spent almost equally amount of time on the single player component as well, which to us is very exciting at least.
Yeah, you have, so now you've got the single player. So how are you, how is it building a ground up new single player experience for this franchise?
Well, it's definitely very exciting as a developer because it's so new to us, but it's built on the same fundamental parts as a multiplayer game, meaning the sandbox experience that we keep talking about. So it's basically a big open environment where you can run around as a player and do whatever you want. If you see a vehicle, you can jump in. If you want to run over to somewhere else and flank off, you can do that. And it's the same idea that the single player is built upon. Now, we have to control the player a bit more, of course, to bring it into specific choke points and tell them what to do and what not to do, etc. But it's the same fundamental. So that's what we started out building.
Yeah, with Battlefield, it's a huge title, and a lot of people really are excited about the open world that you've created. So I know they're interested in how you're going to make that migration to the single player. Mm. Let's talk about the multiplayer campaign and what you're doing there to innovate.
Absolutely. The multiplayer part of Battlefield Bad Company is something that we're now rolling out more. We've been a bit quiet about it for quite some time, but you shouldn't be confused. It's an equally big part as a single player in this actual game. And the biggest change in the multiplayer right now from the other Battlefield games that we've seen before is the new interactive environment with all the destruction that we have in there.
So now people, in addition to shooting each other and blowing each other up, you actually can blow up some of the landscape and some of the buildings?
Absolutely. You can actually blow up quite a bit of it. A large part of the environment and the houses and the structures, the ground, the vegetation can be destroyed. And all of this leads up to, more creative ways to take out your enemies, pretty much.
Tell us about some of the, in the single and the multiplayer, what do you have for some of the new weapons and maybe some of the new vehicles that you can tell me about?
I mean, it's a typical Battlefield game. So we have vehicles both in land, air, sea, all of those kind of categories. And we have different, types of vehicles, light vehicles, heavy vehicles, etc. And in a similar way, there's a lot of different weapons, both that you can access by only if you play single player, but if you play multiplayer, there will be, it's class-based, so they do, the different kits will have different weapons. But there are also more weapons that you can unlock over time if you keep at it and you rank up and these kind of things.
Because I'm a big fan of flying the helicopter, as I was. In the original or the older Battlefield, so I assume my heli is going to be back and I'm going to have more to choose from.
Absolutely. I mean, the maps that we have in Bad Company, we've listened to what people like about Battlefield, and there's two quite clear distinction of players. Some people like the infantry-heavy maps, and some people like more of the huge-scale vehicle maps. So we have built about the maps about half and half, so some of them are very infantry-focused, and some of them are very vehicle-focused. And if you like playing helicopters, you can definitely going to like the big open-scale maps that we have with all the vehicles.
Can you give me a sense for, the largest map that you're working on? How big is that roughly in scale?
Well, I mean, an average map is something like 2 by 2 kilometers in the actual active area that you play around with. But we have some really big maps in single player as well, which are 4 by 4 kilometers.
That's pretty darn big.
Yeah, it's pretty big. It's a big area to fill with things.
Now, one of the games that came out recently is Frontlines Fuel of War, which a lot of people looked at and said that's very similar to Battlefield. So I assume you guys have taken a look at that and said, oh, that's kind of interesting. And you guys are going to obviously iterate more on what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
So, have you? Are you excited to finally bring the game out?
Absolutely. I mean, bringing Battlefield Bad Company to the market is something I've been looking forward for a long time. I've been working on this project for quite some time because this project has not only been about building the game, but also building the actual Frostbite game engine, which been, you know, which had led up to this is the first title that we actually published with that engine.
And what are some of the differences, and what are we going to see in this engine?
Well, I mean, we built it from ground up because we needed an engine that really could, what we thought of, build a next-gen game. There was a, when we started out with this engine, there was a lot of conversation that next-gen this and resolution that and amount of polygons here. And, you know, this was before the 360 came out and way before the PlayStation 3 was even really, you know, any specs or anything came out. But we felt like all the titles that were starting to come out when the 360 actually appeared, they were really good, but was there something groundbreaking with them? Were they actually next-gen? And we felt that we need to take it one step further, and hence the idea with the destruction and everything. But in order to realize that in our Battlefield environments, we needed new technology. So that's why we started out in building the Frostbite engine.
So this has a brand new, and a lot of people may not know this, but you know, all the games run on engines. There's all sorts of different engines out there, but mm-hmm. you guys have built your own engine, which is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, it is. I mean, DICE has a long history of being strong in the technology department, and it's something that we have done with all our Battlefield games. So to us, it felt natural. Now, it's a lot of, as a developer, there's a lot of angst involved in building a new engine as well. So it's not that easy than just building an engine, of course. But now with Battlefield Bad Company, we're starting to reap the rewards of actually having a new engine, because it enables us to have these huge open environments. Vehicles, infantry, destruction, everything at the same time.
Yeah, it's you know, it's pretty, you know, you guys are the original huge major scale you know, Battlefield, so you know, I know folks are excited about that. You know, I went over and I took a look through some of the communities that have built up around that. Has it surprised you, some of the community that has built up around your titles?
Not surprised me. I mean, actually, before I started working at DICE, I was a Battlefield player myself, and it's one of the reasons I, you know, tried to seek work at DICE. So I can definitely see why people get so excited about it, because there's one fundamental thing that is common in the Battlefield games, and that is that it's up to the player's creativity and imagination regarding how they want to, you know, play the game. Sure, you can just run around and you can use the assault rifle and you can just try to shoot people in the head and, you know, to get the maximum amount of scores, but if you actually apply some tactical thought to it, or some just imaginative regarding, I want to, you know, play C4 in the Jeep and drive it into the village and blow it up from a distance, or try to wing walk on a B-17 or something like that. That's the spirit of Battlefield. That's what we want in our games.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, so I know a lot of Battlefield people are, when you said that you were a player yourself and then you went to work at DICE, they kind of had a sigh of relief there, because it's like, good God, there's somebody who's in there that knows what they're doing. So I know that folks are excited about that.
Yeah, actually, there's quite a few in here. I mean, the whole modding community from the PC side has been a great thing for us, because there's a lot of people coming from there that knows a lot and are really, really interesting. And I usually, when you talk to people about, you know, starting out in the games industry, I always say that the most important thing is that you have a really big interest, that you're on fire, you really want to do this. That's more important than anything else. And if you have that, that's what's going to get you really far. And That's really good for us.
That's really going to drive you forward. Now, you talked a little bit about the PC and the community, the modding community, which is huge. Mm. What is it like developing the title and then making the controls work on the console versus a PC?
It definitely is a big difference. I mean, what we like to call the second-to-second gameplay, I mean, the actual running, gunning, shooting, you know, aiming, it's very, very important for all the Battlefield games. And this is one of the reasons why we only develop Battlefield Bad Company for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, because we don't want to make it into one of those, you know, quickly ported games over to a PC platform and the controls, you know, become something, you know, half-decent. So in the first iterations now with the Frostbite engine, we felt that it's the right thing to do to only focus on two platforms to make it into a true next-gen console game. And part of that is what you're getting at, is that you have to focus a lot on the actual controls for each specific platforms to make the most out of it in the game.
Now, I want to talk to you about the closed beta. You've got a beta coming up, which must be pretty exciting for you.
Oh, it's really exciting. We're on toes here. I don't know what you say in English. We're very edgy about it here.
When does that happen, and how do people get in on it?
Well, we're going to distribute keys through or tickets through IGN that people can get through this through them.
Yeah, I'm actually I'm going to get a couple as well to give away on my blog, so we'll do that. Now, as a developer, you know, it's got to kind of be interesting because you had to decide a few months back that, you know what, we're going to stop and we're going to maybe split off our code to create a beta, yet you need to simultaneously keep marching forward.
Uh-huh.
So is what kind of data are you hoping to collect from the beta?
I mean, there's basically two things from this. I mean, the Battlefield has always been about trying to make the most of the online experience because, I mean, that's the pedigree of the franchise. It started out as a multiplayer only, and it's a huge important part of Bad Company. And an example of that is that we always run with dedicated servers, so you don't have to run peer-to-peer or anything like that. It's you actually run against data centers spread out over the world that we make sure are up and running, so you always can find a game and you're getting match-made against the same amount of players, mm-hmm. the same ranked players that you need to have. And we need to test this. It's really important for us to make sure that these centers are running appropriately and everyone can get into it. That's one key part of the beta. The other part is even more important, actually, is that we need to hear from the communities what people think about the game. This can be simple things like balancing issues, because we've had issues with that in the past on the PC. You know, is this shotgun overpowered or something like that? We want to hear from the community about these issues. But then generally also what people think about the game. Let's get some feedback from the people out there, from the consumers, from our gamers. I want to hear what they think about it.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun because gamers love betas. Of course, we had the Halo beta last year, the COD4 beta last year. So now yeah. now we can get excited all about the Battlefield beta, the Battlefield Bad Company beta. When you do these betas, first of all, how long is it going to go for?
I'm not sure. I think the running time is 4 weeks, but don't quote me on that. I'm not really sure, actually.
So it'll be coming up pretty soon, and I'll make sure I make a post on that as well.
Yeah.
It's. I know. How many players are you going to be supporting? You talked about the dedicated servers.
Yeah, I mean, we have a new game mode in Battlefield Bad Company that we call Gold Rush that we just started talking about outside of the studio now, and it's a new idea that we want to bring all the people into the same place, because we are still running with 24 players at the same time. That's the maximum for a server in Bad Company. But we want to utilize those people at the same place at the same time, so we get the maximum amount of destruction, maximum amount of team play, but also just general action and these kind of things. If you played Battlefield before, you know that we have the Conquest, and you can be spread out over this huge area, and people are spread out over the bases. But now we keep everything more into an attack and a defend game mode, where everyone is situated more or less at the same place within the map, which makes for much more action.
Yeah, it's just everybody's kind of thrown in at the same place, and they're just going to start beating each other up.
Yep.
Well, Carl, listen, I'm going to let you go, but before I go, I'd like to ask my guests what their gamer tag is. So can you tell me what your Xbox Live gamer tag is?
Absolutely. It's L-Twin.
L-Twin, and I'll put a link to that up on the blog. And, I know people are going to be looking for you in the closed beta, and then eventually when Battlefield Bad Company ships, which, have you guys announced a date yet, or are we just saying later this year?
Yeah, sorry, the date for the product?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, no, it's coming summer this year. We don't have an official date just yet.
It's because you got to take all that information you get from the beta and feed it back into the product. So that's
absolutely.
That's the way that goes. Carl, I appreciate your time, and we'll see you online.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Joining me today is Philippe Therion, who's the game designer for Rainbow Six. Philippe, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
First of all, congratulations. You're shipping Rainbow Six Vegas 2 next week, correct?
Absolutely. The game will be available on Monday, I believe.
Oh, that's pretty exciting. And I'm actually really bummed out because I'm actually going away on vacation or holiday for a week. So it's going to be sitting on my desk and I won't even be able to get to play it.
That is very unfortunate.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. But it'll be here when I get back. Of course, by the time I go online, everyone will be much better than I. But we'll talk about that in a minute. But let's talk about Rainbow Six Vegas. That's been I was just talking about it with my co-host, Dee. That is a staple of Xbox Live. I mean, that is really something that as the service has grown in numbers, we're up to 10 million now. That title has always been there for us.
Absolutely. Even when Xbox Live was just starting out, we were working very closely with Microsoft to make sure that we were offering a really cool game that would make the best use of the service. And I think that because we've been there from the start, we've had a really strong opportunity to talk with people and evolve the game into something that is really solid on live. So what we have now with Vegas 2 is just amazing. It's a accumulation of everything that we've learned since Vegas. Well, not Vegas, but since Rainbow Six 3. So, yeah, definitely. Really, really cool game for Xbox Live.
Well, what can people expect this year? Obviously, Rainbow Six Vegas came out last year. You know, a little bit more than a year later, you guys are shipping Rainbow Six Vegas 2. What are some of the differences that gamers can expect?
Well, the game is actually bigger than the first one. We do understand that people were kind of worried because the sequel is coming out so fast, but we had our engine. So basically, this is nothing but development time. New art, new AI, new maps, new multiplayer modes. There's a whole new leveling system. Co-op is fully integrated into the single-player storyline. There's better matchmaking. Everything that people told us they wanted to see better from the first Vegas, everything that we could do, we actually put in that game. If you could sum it up, Vegas 2 is pretty much thank you to our fans.
Let's talk about the I want to go over all those points because everyone was probably perking their ears up as they heard you go through that list there. But let's talk about the customization in the single and multiplayer. How does that work?
Okay, well, we added the whole PEC system into single player. That's the first thing to understand. So now when you're playing the game, no matter if you're online, offline, co-op, multiplayer, you can customize and level up your character. So that's really cool. And what we did with that system is we separated it in two things. We still have the old XP system that we had before. Gives you ranks, gives you new armor, new camos, stuff like that. And then we added the Aces system. The Aces system is a really cool thing. It's separated into three categories. You got Assault, Marksmanship, and CQB. Now, depending on the way that you take out people, there's about 36 different ways you can shoot people, if you can believe that.
Wait a minute. There's 36 different ways to take someone down?
Yes, there is.
Wow.
You got a gun and grenades, and there's 36 different ways of taking out people. I know it was shocking when we found that out ourselves.
Okay.
It's anything from somebody using a rope, using a ballistic shield in the back, from close, from far, and ahead. There's a lot of them. Shot through cover. There's a lot.
Okay.
So with these three categories, when you shoot somebody, you get points. And now when you get these points, eventually you get ranks in these categories. So, for example, if you were to reach level 3 marksman, then you would get a new sniper rifle or a new assault rifle. Why this is fun is because in some other games, sometimes what happens is, let's say you're playing around with a shotgun. You're going around blasting people, and then the game says, you unlocked a new weapon. Gives you a sniper rifle. You don't know what a sniper rifle is. You shoot it once, it goes crooked, it's only got one bullet. You don't know you have to scope with it. You say it's junk, throw it away, never use it again. So instead, what we did is the game sees how you're playing. So if you're playing a lot with your shotgun, you're going to get a lot of CQB or a lot of assault points. And then you'll be rewarded with a weapon that's going to be familiar to you, which is another shotgun that's different. So that way, you get something that you can actually use. Also, it puts a name to everything that you do in the game. So now if you're saying, I'm a sniper, well, then you know if you're really doing marksman things in the game. So it allows people to actually understand what the whole CQB thing is all about.
Got it. So I actually had the opportunity to play an early build of it, and the XP system was coming up when I was playing the single player.
Yep.
So can you explain to me how that works? I was doing different things, throwing a grenade and taking some people out as you were describing, and I noticed there was like numbers popping up at the bottom of the screen, and gamers are going to see this next week. Give me a little hint how that works.
Okay, it's pretty simple. Everything that you do in the game is going to reward you. When you're doing objectives, when you're taking out bad guys, you get XP. So with the XP, you get the ranks and the leveling up. That happens everywhere. Then the manner in which you take out the bad guys or other players is when you get the aces. So let's say that I'm playing single player. I headshot a terrorist from really far. I'm going to get a couple of points of experience based off of the difficulty level. And then I'm also going to get an aces for a headshot, which is marksmanship. So you'll see you get a little XP that happens at the middle of the screen. And then at the bottom right, you'll see that you earned like 1, 2, 3 points of aces for marksmanship. And then that's how that system works. So you get two things for one action. You could get that for defusing a bomb, for saving a hostage, stuff like that. The points happen while you're playing SP and MP, obviously.
Got it. So, and can I take some of that? And does what I'm learning there, I assume it carries over into the multiplayer, as you said.
Yep, absolutely. That's the idea. We really wanted you to create your character, and then no matter what you do, you can still keep customizing and improving.
Now, I want to talk to you about co-op, because I had a post up on my blog a few days ago that co-op is really the new thing for online. And, you know, you've worked on that for a while. But what can we expect from co-op in the next version of Vegas?
The co-op in Vegas will be the full story this time around. In the first one, we had a bit of a problem with that, where we had to offer a very limited version of the story. We really weren't happy with that.
Well, wait a minute. Terrorist Hunt actually was a lot of fun for us. We had some good times with that.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Terror Hunt is amazing. We played out a lot here. That hasn't changed. It's a lot of fun. But at the same time, we felt that we wanted to offer the solid single-player story experience in co-op, because we kind of had to cut it up a little bit in the first one. So this time around, if you want to play single player, for example, you're playing on your own, you get to the second level, your friend just buys the game, he wants to play co-op with you, he can jump in your game on the same level, it's going to unlock the level for him because you're playing it, and then you can play together. And if he chooses to leave, or you choose to leave, the other one can keep playing in single player. So we made it completely seamless to play co-op with your friends. There's no limitations anymore. It's really the entire game.
And I know that gamers are going to be really excited about that, because that's what they're asking for. They're asking for this concept. First of all, with Xbox Live, with the Xbox 360, we brought the concept of you're always online and you're always connected.
Yeah.
And when you play games that don't allow that, you kind of feel short, because you're hanging out on the couch and your buddy may not be online right at that time. But after 45 minutes, you know, you may see him pop online. You can toss him an invite and bring him into the game. That's what gamers love. So this is really exciting.
Exactly, and at the same time, we've got this really cool co-op game, and you can level up with your friend while you're playing single-player co-op. Then if you choose to play multiplayer, you're still using that really cool level-up system, the points, the aces, the XP. So we really went and pushed that thing as far as it could possibly go. I mean, we're really making good use of Xbox Live.
Now, I haven't had a chance to play it on live yet. Is it two-person co-op?
Yeah, this time around we've got two human players with the two AI teammates. Before we had four human players, but because we're limited to four people with the limitations that we have in the game, we made the decision to take it down to two people so that we could really focus on the experience. So the co-op is a lot better for two people, but if you do want to go ahead and hunt with four of your friends, Terror Hunt is still very much there with four human players.
Well, that's good. Now, how does it work with the two people co-op? Who gets to direct the AI saying, go over there and breach and clear?
Whoever is hosting the game is going to be Bishop and is going to be controlling the AI. So
okay.
That's how that works.
That's good. That's good to know. That'll clear some things up right away. Let's move on and focus on the multiplayer. What are we expecting from the multiplayer? Because you guys have always had a solid online multiplayer experience. I mean, even to this day, a year later, Rainbow Six Vegas is in the top 10 games on live.
Yep, we've really always been really solid online, and we didn't really want to reinvent the wheel this time around. So what we did is we revamped Total Conquest a little bit. So that game mode can now change on the very last seconds of a round. It's a lot of fun. You really have to pay attention to your satellites. We added two new game modes. One of them is called Team Leader. The other one is called Demolition. The way these game modes work, Team Leader is a lot of fun. One player on each team is made into the leader. While your leader is alive, you have respawns available. The goal of the game is to reach an extraction point with your leader or take out the entire team, the entire opposing team. The trick to that, though, is that if the leader dies and you don't have respawns anymore, you're not dead. You can still take out the entire other team. So there's a lot of strategies that happen in that game mode. And to throw an even bigger spin on the game mode, the two leaders can see each other on the HUD. So communication is really important. And you can use that to bait the other team as well. So it's tons of fun.
So that's interesting. Tell us about some of the maps, because that's one thing gamers always want to know is, you know, how big are they? Big maps, little maps? How many are there? What do we get to play with?
We got a little bit of everything. We did want to have a few more smaller maps because we felt that was really missing before, but we definitely have a good variety for everything. We got 13 maps total. A couple of these maps are actually old-school maps from Raven Shield that people really like, so we brought those back. And it's really because they were fan favorites, and they're our favorites as well, so went ahead and brought those back.
That's always fun. Just talking about the maps and so forth, I assume that, you know, you haven't the game hasn't even shipped, so I feel bad asking you this question, but I assume down the line maybe you'll have some downloadable content.
It's usually been the habit of us to release DLC. We don't have anything announced right now because
Sure. Obviously
the game's not even on shelves.
Right.
But it's something that we'll announce if we have some at some point, yeah.
Let's talk about a little bit about the weapons. What can we expect for new weapons?
We added 11 new weapons to the game, mostly to fill in gaps where they were needed. So we added a silenced sniper rifle, for example. We added more variety with the SMGs. Like some of the SMGs are assault rifles modified to use 9mm, shorter barrels, stuff like that. And at the same time, we refactorized some of the weapons. So the shotguns, for example, are a lot stronger. The sniper rifles are more stable, and the LMGs now actually have a real purpose in the game.
Now, I have to ask you a question. And for those of you that are have not finished the original Rainbow Six Vegas from last year, I'm going to ask you to move ahead about a minute, because I have to ask you this question. At the very end of the game of Rainbow Six Vegas, you can shoot down that helicopter, correct?
Yes.
You can also not shoot down the helicopter. So there's actually two things that happen, correct?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, because I thought I was out of my mind, because I was talking with some folks around here in the office. I'm like, yeah, I shot it down. And they looked at me and said, well, I didn't shoot it down. And we were like, wow, that's pretty interesting. There's not really two different endings. There's just kind of two things that happen there.
Yes.
So, okay, just wanted to clear that up. All right, spoiler over. let's talk about the game with Dev. You've got that coming up. Can you tell me what's going on there?
Well, we're going to be playing with some of our fans. So that should be pretty interesting. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be our first opportunity to show off the game to the public. So, yeah, we're definitely psyched about it.
Now, that's going to happen on Saturday, the 29th of March. You're going to be on from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock Eastern Time, 11 to 1 Pacific Time. And what gamer tag are you going to be playing under?
I will be playing as RSV2 Philip, PHILIPPE. That will be my gamer tag.
All right, I'll read that again. It's R as in Rainbow Six Vegas, RSV, the number 2, Philip,
yes.
PHI, or Philippe, depending upon how you want to pronounce it.
Yes, exactly. If you want to use a French or English pronunciation.
And there's going to be a page up on Xbox.com for that one. And also, you're also running an avatar contest, correct?
Yes, we are.
So I understand you go to Rainbow Six Vegas, R6V2Avatars.com, and you can register to win some accessories and all sorts of stuff with that. So you guys are playing wins. There's a lot of stuff going on for this game.
We're really going all out. We really want to do a lot of stuff. We're going to be playing with people. Even after the game's out, people can expect to see us on there talking with them. We've always been doing that. People can really expect to play with me and some of the other devs when the game comes out. So if you play with anybody that pretends to have worked on the game, please don't ban us. It's us. We're just trying to play with you guys.
That's good to know. Well, with the game, you know, you've shipped the game. You're getting really excited to roll it out to the public. Has it been interesting to take the feedback over the past year from the community? Because this Rainbow Six community is pretty incredible.
Absolutely. We get a lot of feedback, not just from our own forums, but from everywhere around the world. There's tons of people that have really smart things to tell us about the game. And because we're online gamers, we know that it's important to make sure that our community has their word to say in the game. And it may not be directly obvious for people, because we don't always go ahead and say, oh, by the way, we did this because you guys mentioned it. But when they play the game, when everybody just gets in there, they'll see that a lot of the things we did because people suggested it to us.
Yeah.
Balancing of the weapons, the quicker matchmaking, some of the features, the options, exploits, anything you can think of. There's a lot of things that we changed just because our fans recommended it and we agreed.
Can you give us a little peek behind the achievement curtain and tell us what we can expect in terms of achievements?
We got a lot of stuff. Again, we got some achievements in multiplayer, some achievements in single player. Some of them are funny. Some of them are a little bit challenging to get, I should say. But yeah, we're really big fans of achievements, so we tried to put some fun stuff in there too. A couple secrets too.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. Rainbow Six Vegas 2 is out this coming week. Congratulations on shipping the game. I appreciate you taking the time. You got a lot of stuff going on. Check out Xbox.com for the game with Dev. You gave that out there. That'll happen this Saturday, the 29th. You can go on and play that. So people have like 3 or 4 days, to get really good at the game before they come on and play with you guys.
Yep, get it soon and get some practice in, because we've been playing for over a year and. We are definitely meaning business when we get on there.
Philippe Therrien, game designer for Rainbow Six, the series. I appreciate you taking the time, and good luck on the game, and we'll chat with you soon.
Thank you. We'll see you guys online.
I am pleased to have on the show this week a man who I just met moments ago, Mr. Peter Molyneux, who is a gaming legend. Peter, thank you for coming on the show.
Not at all. It's my absolute pleasure.
You and I, the first time you and I have met was just a few moments ago, but I am, as most video gamers are, a huge fan of you.
Well, thank you. I mean, can I just say it's a little bit scary when everybody says that, because, you feel like you should perform or something.
Right, exactly.
You know, I should get out my unicycle and do a couple of
put on a show.
Put on a show, and it's of course there's nothing you can do. I always feel like saying sorry,
right,
when people say that, because I feel. You know, I look back at the games in the past, and I feel that a lot of times I've promised these things and really truly believe them when I promised them and never quite delivered. That's until Fable 2.
That's until Fable 2. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but you have a very interesting history of how you got into video games. A lot of people ask me, you know, because I'm high profile, how you got into video games. But your story is fascinating.
Mm.
You used to sell floppy disks? Is that what I would understand?
Yeah. I mean, it goes back. I mean, really, I come from a school life where I didn't pass any exams and I was completely useless at school. And I left and I had this one passion, and that was to have my own business. And
sure.
I don't know where that passion came from. And then I sort of stumbled on computers, and those two passions came together. And I started this little company up which sold floppy disks to schools.
Mm-hmm.
It was a way of making money, to be quite honest with you. And I thought, I know what I'll do is I'll put some free software on these floppy disks. And they were educational software. And as it turned out, people didn't want the floppy disks at all. They just wanted the software. And that was really the absolute start. And then after that company collapsed. It was all a disaster. And I swore I would never start another company. A week later, I started another company, and this company actually was going to do databases. And then, by a series of mad coincidences, a company called Commodore got the wrong name of a company and phoned us up instead of the company they meant to, and gave us all these free machines. And that gave me the excuse to get into games. It was incredible.
Now, what was your first game?
My first game, the first game I ever that was ever published was a conversion of of another game called Druid 2 Enlightenment. That was my very, very first game, which coincidentally, and this is the circular nature of life.
Right.
Coincidentally, the people that I am working with on Fable 2 are a pair of brothers called Simon and Dean Carter. And they were the kids, 12-year-old kids, that had designed this game that I first converted. And I interviewed them for a job 10 years ago at Lionhead, and they came and joined, and I didn't know that they had designed this original game that got me into the industry.
And how was that when you found that out? That must have been an amazing moment.
Well, I felt like, I was their boss, and,
right.
You know, they were coming to me and saying, oh, you know, we think your work's really great and all that and everything. And then suddenly, one day they let slip that they'd done this game called Druid 2, and it was just, my God, I got so much to thank you for.
Right. That's fascinating. So you worked on that. Now, I want to talk to you about Entrepreneur.
Mm.
Let's talk about that game. I can't have the interview without talking about that.
Yeah. Well, this shows you how incompetently stupid I am. Because all I had to do to make a ton load of money and be incredibly successful was to do a Space Invaders clone. This
right.
is way back in the 1980s.
Right.
Where you had Space Invaders called in everything from Galaxians that you saw in the arcades to Toilet Invaders, where Space Invaders would come up the side of toilet bowls. You only had to do another one of these.
Just a variation of that.
A variation, that's it. And you'd sold 50,000 and you'd have a Ferrari.
Right.
I decided to do a business game simulator. You know, no one wanted a business game simulator. You didn't shoot anything, for goodness sake. So I did this business game simulator. I put all my heart and passion into it. I still believe it's a great game. And I advertised it. This is in those days, there weren't any publishers, anything like Electronic Arts.
Sure.
I advertised it in a computer magazine, and I was absolutely convinced that I would be selling thousands of copies. I actually phoned up the local post office and said, look, I've got to warn you.
Right.
There's this new game coming out. It's going to be really popular. I'm going to have to want more postmen that year. I'd cut a hole in my post box.
So it can handle more letters.
By 10 times bigger. So it was this vast chasm.
Right.
Anyway, day came out. I'd worked it out that, it was going to be the third day after the advert hit. That's when I arrived at like 6:30 in the morning. I literally sat by the door, waiting for the mail to come through, and through the letterbox wafted two handwritten orders, both of which, those orders looked suspiciously like my mother's writing. And to this day, those are the only orders that,
those are the only orders that came in. Yeah. So is the game floating around someplace on this vast thing called the internet?
I doubt it. I mean, yeah. I think it's probably lost for all time.
Right.
It was a great show. I probably got it on some floppy somewhere, but that was tragic. And then I did Druid 2, and then luckily our first real original game after Ultrapreneur was a game called Populous, which mm-hmm. unbelievably then sold over 3 million units.
It's a good thing you had cut that hole in your mailbox at that point.
Yeah, except we had publishers by then, and we didn't have.
But I mean, you needed it, but just not for that game. Yeah, you needed it for a later game.
That's right. That's right. But and it was it, it. You know that. I think, you know, that me getting into this industry is paved through problems that I've had with bad games, bad orders, and all sorts of things. So, wind forward to this game in 1989 called Populous, and that sold 3 million units. And
wow.
To go from abject poverty, which I was in, abject poverty, where, you know, all my credit cards were maxed out to the full. I was, you know, I could literally only afford the most basic foodstuffs to live.
Sure.
And this game was released, and suddenly I was wealthy.
You're a king.
It was like that. And I can remember someone from Electronic Arts, the publisher, phoning up and say, how does it feel like to be a millionaire? And this was literally when I was sitting in the middle of all these bills around me that you were unpaid.
Right.
And it was that moment that was transformed my whole life.
Why do you think Populous was such a smash hit?
Do you know, I've asked myself that question again and again. What was it about Populous that made it a hit? And even more embarrassingly, what made it a hit on almost every format that it came out on? And some of those formats were just atrocious. I mean, it was designed for a mouse-based game.
Right.
The conversions onto the consoles were, in my opinion, weren't particularly entertaining. And I've never quite understood it. I think it was really simple to play. I think it was really different to anything else. And I think people still imagined things in that game that perhaps weren't there, but that, you know, that was part of its compulsion.
Yeah.
You know, there was, I think, it's, in a way, when you think about, you know, anything like food, when you make something, you can take three ingredients that, and they can be pretty bland ingredients, and you can mix them together in just the right way
and create something
and
fantastic,
create something amazing and tasting. And that doesn't mean you can instantly do it with three other ingredients.
Right. It's
just, you know, the balance for that, that was that.
It's a certain type of magic when you take all those elements and bring them together.
Yeah.
So I want to fast forward a little bit to Fable 2. First, let's go through Fable, because Fable was... It was a hit on the original Xbox, and I adored that game. And
well, thank you.
It was really wonderful. How did you take what you learned in the previous titles and bring it into Fable, and then ultimately we'll go into Fable 2?
Well, there was a couple of things about Fable which were really, really challenging. The first thing was that and the people I worked with, and Winston, whenever I say I should say we.
Right.
I'm, to a great extent, I'm just the spokesman for the brilliant people that are working behind the scenes.
Right.
But we had never really done a console game before. You know, we'd always been based on home computers and PCs and Amigas before that. So that was the first thing. And the second thing, we'd certainly never done a role-playing game before.
Yeah.
And I think those two things strangely worked to our advantage. We didn't have any legacy. We didn't have any, oh God, this is the last time we did it.
Right.
And so we approached it in a different way. And the way that we approached it is firstly and foremostly thinking, you know what, I'd love to take simulation stuff, you know, to simulate how a little town works and then set a game in that. And that's where we started. And I think we partially achieved that. So a lot of what you saw in Fable was, you could do some things in that game which you couldn't do in other games because it was based in a simulation.
Kick the chicken.
Kick the chicken, chat up the girl, you know, watch people get up in the morning and go to bed at night.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's just, I think that just gives it a different slant.
Now, it was a major success on the original Xbox. It's now available on Xbox Originals.
Yeah, yeah.
For download, so people can go ahead and download that. Now, fast forward, what can we expect for Fable 2? I mean, you've talked a little bit about it. We've got the dog. Right. We're excited about that. Yeah. What can we expect? You did a demo at GDC, which was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I can give you a shopping list of features of what you expect from any sequel.
Right.
You know, a bigger world, more weapons, a bigger story.
More polygons.
More polygons. All of that, more stuff.
Right.
Which, quite honestly, just leaves me cold about the games. You know, okay, I'm greedy.
Mm-hmm.
As a consumer, I want one thing that normally some sequels don't give you. I want a sense of wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel that when I play a game, this is something I haven't experienced before.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're going to try and give you in Fable 2. Yeah, we've got some amazing things. We've got this dog. It's an AI-driven dog. Your dog is your dog.
Yep.
It's like no other dog in the world. And you can, you know, you can, as you experience the game, he will change his behavior. That's incredible. But I think Fable 2 is more than that. It's about the drama of what we're presenting to you. About the fact that you, as a player, and with this is what we've been thinking about a lot, how can we get you to care about something within a game? Now, mm-hmm. you may end up caring about the dog. You may end up caring about nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You may end up caring about your family, but caring is part of making drama.
So it's the emotional connection.
It's the emotional connection, and that emotional connection we get mainly from things in the Fable 2 game will try and, to be honest with you, to try and love you.
Mm-hmm.
So the dog absolutely loves you, and I use that word love because I want you to experience what it's like for something like a dog to love you. If you do go out into the world and you do, you know, chat somebody up and you do get married and you do have children, then your family will love you and they'll appreciate you. If you do things for, and this is a small little thing, but it makes an enormous difference. If you do things for people in the Fable world, if you save someone's son or someone's daughter, or if you, you know, go out there and save a village from bandits, they'll really like you.
Yeah.
And they'll really appreciate you. And it's something addictive about the idea that people appreciate you. So that's one thing, is that drama that's there. The next thing, I guess, is the fact that the combat, which is really important in adventure games, the combat is really simple and really accessible, but incredibly deep. And you're deep enough that even the most hardcore gamer can feel like they can mm-hmm. push the boundaries of it. That's the second big thing. It's not, you know, the same as the combat that is in Fable 1. I think it's a lot better. And then the third and probably the biggest thing of all is this idea that you can co-op play.
Mm. Yeah.
That you and I can sit down and play Fable together. But we can do it in such a way that we can just come in and you can play for 5 minutes or 5 hours and leave. So it's very, very simple, very easy co-op. And those three big features, which obviously weren't there in Fable 1, all come together to make Fable a slightly different
game. So I wanted to go back a little bit, so we'll talk about each one of those. So let's talk about the dog for a minute, because when you did the demo at GDC, the dog was an interesting element because it was pointing out things as we were walking down a trail. Mm. So it kind of warned you that, wait a minute, there's bandits up ahead.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was really, it's going to be an interesting dynamic.
Well, it's even more interesting. What I didn't show at GDC is that we have got this thing called a breadcrumb trail. And what the breadcrumb trail is it's a little subtle trail of breadcrumbs that are sprinkled on the ground, which continually update to show you where you should be going.
Oh.
If you've accepted a quest, it'll show you the route to go to get to that quest. Very simple. It's like a amazing compass needle, but
it's like a little GPS.
It's like a little GPS. It's exactly like a route finder.
Right.
You get in the car, you know, you can see the route you should go. The dog's job, in a way, is to point out why you shouldn't be slavishly following that breadcrumb trail.
Oh, interesting.
So he will be trying to get you to. So he's going to kind of say to you, "Look, there's something really interesting over here."
Right.
So he tries to pull you a little bit off the breadcrumb trail so that. You know, you don't just go from A to B to C to D, which is the temptation to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you imagine if you've got GPS on your car and the GPS comes up and says, hey, there's a really interesting site that you should see off here. Would you be more likely to go and see it? Yeah, you obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's one of his roles. That's only one. Another one of his roles is he can do things like he can help you in combat. Mm-hmm. I've got this fantastic thing, which is very hard for me to describe in words, but it really works well. In the Fable 2 combat, you can knock people down. You can knock them down by shooting them. You can knock them down by hitting them with swords or maces, and knock them down with magic. As soon as they're on the floor, your dog has an in.
Oh, interesting.
He'll leap on them, and he'll, you know, he'll
shake them around
them
a little bit.
And, yeah, shake them around, finish them off. So you can, if you like doing that, you can. There's a really interesting combat style where you essentially can pick targets off your dog,
and then the dog will come in and then finish off the job.
So he's useful in combat. He's useful in out in the wild when you're exploring. A dog, like dogs do, has a sixth sense about things. He is like a little bit of a warning mechanism.
Sure.
You know, if you're just gung-ho going ahead, he is something that's going to be, you know, just saying to you, well, maybe all things aren't all what they seem to be. You know, that's the classic thing. Dogs in films always know that aliens are aliens.
Right.
And we don't.
Right.
You know, that's
or there's something behind that door.
Yeah, exactly. And they we will use him in the drama of the story and that an awful lot. He also does things like he can, you know, dig for treasure. And there's lots of things your dog can do.
You mentioned about the combat system a little bit. Mm. Was it hard when you made the transition that Fable was your first console game to make the combat system map to a controller? You didn't have your 88 keys in your mouse. You had a controller.
Yeah, it is really, really difficult. You know, the temptation is, when you're designing something, it's always to keep on adding one more functionality. You, in fact, the great thing about the PC is you have got 88 keys on the keyboard, and you can always say, well, how's Pearson going to change weapons? I know, they'll press F8 and shift.
They'll be done.
F6, yeah. And we're done. We don't even have to think about it. And then when you come across to a console, you are always thinking about how you can use those buttons for really efficiently. And actually in Fable, what we've done is, this is really shows you how we've sort of developed, we struggled to use all the buttons on the controller because we didn't need them in the end.
Interesting.
So we need the four, we definitely need the four
ABXY.
Yeah, ABXY, definitely. We need one of the triggers, but the other trigger, we didn't really need. We're using it, obviously, right, but it's not essential.
Interesting. The other thing we were just talking about is co-op. Mm. Tell me how that's going to work, because, you know, if the Fable experience for everyone that played Fable, you know, I was the protagonist, I was the single guy, and I was driving the story ahead. Mm. How will co-op work? What can you tell us about that?
Well, I can't tell you everything about co-op, sadly. There's some things that we're just saving on that side a little bit.
Sure.
But the things I can tell you about is that there's a couple of things that are important about co-op for me. The first important thing is that you don't have to schedule a co-op session. So if someone walks in, whether it be your wife, your girlfriend, or a friend, and you're playing Fable, you should be able to say, hey, come on, join me on this.
Just jump in.
Jump in. And that person may never have played Fable before, or they may have their own Fable game on your box. So the first thing is that dynamic nature. If you're in the middle of a dungeon, so you should be able to press one button, and a friend should just pop in there and help you out. And then at the end of that dungeon, you can say, thanks very much, and they can go.
They can go back off to tea.
Yeah. So that dynamic nature is important. The second thing is, if Fable detects that you, the person who's come into your world as your henchman, has a Fable game of his own or her own, it will base that henchman upon their hero and allow them to do a very cool thing, and that is allow them to earn experience and gold, which they can take back to their world in your world. So if you've got your old version of Fable and I've got my version of Fable, and you come into my world, you can then take that back into your world, and suddenly your hero would have gone off.
And your experience basically stays with you, and your gold and whatnot.
Absolutely.
Speaking of that, you mentioned something at GDC which was really interesting. The ability that apparently over the summer, you know, you haven't announced a ship date for Fable, but before the game ships, I guess, you're going to have an arcade title.
That's right.
Explain, this is most fascinating, because I actually did a double take. I was sitting backstage, and I'm like, what did I just hear? Explain that to people that maybe missed it.
Right, here's the thing. It's a really big thing of mine. Why aren't games talking to each other?
Right.
And when you say to yourself, well, okay, well, let's get games talking to each other, how can they talk? And the idea is this. Carbonated Games, part of Microsoft, have made some great, you know, casual games.
Yes, arcade titles.
Arcade titles. They have got three titles, one called Keystone, one called Wizard's Tower, and one called Mage Dice. Why not make those what we call Fable compatible?
Okay.
And that means those are sort of semi-gambling games. Mm-hmm. When you play those games, if you win, you win Fable Gold.
Mm-hmm.
And you can transfer that Fable Gold to Fable when you buy Fable. If you've already got Fable, the money will transfer automatically. If you've yet to buy Fable, then your balance will be transferred. That's cool.
So you can actually, before the game even ships... assuming these three titles that you just mentioned go out before, I'm going to be able to play those arcade games, and obviously I'll have fun and unlock achievements. Yeah. But more importantly, I'm going to build up a bank.
But you're going to build up wealth, and then when you buy Fable, you plug it into the drive. That money's imported. You know, if you do a good job, you can be a millionaire before the game starts,
and you won't have all those bills sitting in front of you.
No, exactly. and I think that's. You know, doing that before Fable comes out is amazing. I mean, that's the first thing. The second thing is that leads to, and you can kind of see this is when design all becomes, you have to build everything all in. So what's important, if you've got that ability to do that, what can you buy in Fable? Now, the important things that you can buy, obviously your weapons and armor for your hero.
Yeah, the standard stuff.
Standard stuff. But I think more excitingly, if you've got enough money, and we're talking about a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
a lot of Fable Gold, you should be able to buy anything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Any house,
mm-hmm.
any dungeon, any castle, any shop that you see, you can buy. And when you buy that, you actually unlock a little bit of content. You unlock a few little quests. Mm-hmm. Some of them are simple quests. You can buy a house, and you can move your family into that house. You can dress that house. So there's tons of stuff to buy with that money. There.
Yeah, I did that. I remember in Fable 1, I spent a lot of time buying a house in each city, in each village. I assume you'll be able to do something similar in the next one.
You can buy every house. So there's the city of Bowerstone.
Mm-hmm.
All the houses that you can get to, you can buy. If you buy all of those houses, you're known as the mayor of Bowerstone.
Oh, my.
If you end up buying... everything in the region, you are known as the king of Bowerstone, and if you buy everything in the land of Albion, you're known as the emperor of Albion.
That is just
now. Not many people are going to get to. It's going to cost a lot of money, so yeah. I want a few people to get to that level.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people. This interesting concept of games talking to each other. Mm. You probably wish I wish that would happen more. I mean, I wish I could take a lot of my arcade experience and bring it into a full version.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why it shouldn't.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't see any reason at all. I mean, for me, it's the player's time.
Right.
If players invested time in something, then they should be able to say, okay, I want to take that score and I want to turn it into this stuff.
Does it concern when you're designing the game? I mean, RPGs, role-playing games, you kind of know how the character is going to progress as they move on. Is it worrisome that maybe someone's going to start the game off with too much gold and all of a sudden level up so quickly?
Yeah, you know, this is a funny... what a funny thing. It's a funny thing. When you start... Just to sit down and think about this for a second. That's your first natural thought. Oh,
right.
My God, we could ruin the balance of the game.
Right.
But if I said to you, okay, let's give this scenario. Let's talk about real life.
Yes.
So I'm going to say to you, you're going to work for 30 hours,
mm-hmm.
and someone at the end of that 30 hours is going to say, okay, here's a lot of money, but you can only spend it on this.
Right.
You'd be pretty upset.
Yeah, I want to spend it on what I want to spend
exactly.
it on.
Exactly. I want to spend it on... Rod, just forget about what currency we're talking about here. We're talking about your time as a gamer.
Right.
If you have put in 60 hours accruing an enormous fortune of gold to import into Fable, and you can see that gold balance come up, and you can see what you can afford, I think it's just cruel for me to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
And what we're dealing with here is very interesting. We're dealing with wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wealth doesn't equal physical power.
Sure.
You can be wealthy in the Fable 2 world. You can own a castle, but it doesn't make you a better adventurer.
Right.
It doesn't make you a better hero. You actually, if you spend too much time worrying about your wealth, then your character will start to morph
mm-hmm.
and look different. He'll look a lot more wimpy.
Oh.
So because you're not out there adventuring,
you're not working
killing,
it.
You're not working exactly, yeah. And that's what I love.
Right.
It all becomes another choice,
right.
And your choice is that you've spent 60 hours playing around with and earning an awful lot of money. If you don't mind your hero looking a little bit, I'm not going to say like Bill Gates, but
right.
I could
a little peakish,
then you know that's up to you.
Yeah, it's wow. Okay,
remember every choice a consequence. I don't want to forbid people to do things. I just want them to realize. If they import 10 million gold into Fable, that will have an effect on their character.
It's wow, okay. I look forward to playing that. When I heard you say that on stage and you were explaining that GDC, I thought, what a brilliant idea.
Oh, well, thank you.
It was great to be able to you know, I know a lot of people are excited about games when they come out leading up, and this kind of gets us excited, and not only that, but then take something quasi-tangible into the game itself.
Yeah, I know. I'd really love that idea. And the Combinator Games guys said, well, we think we can do this in the time. And I thought, well, what, that's brilliant. Let's just get it out there beforehand.
Yeah. Well, you know, has it surprised you the community that has built up around Fable? I mean, Sam and the team who works for Lionhead as a community manager over there, I chat with him frequently. You guys have just a wonderful community.
It's a fantastic, amazing thing. I think, you know, I've got to thank everybody in that community every day. But you know what we do over at Lionhead, and this just keeps us going in the long dark nights, is every month Sam prints off all the things that people in the community are saying. We put it around on everyone's desks,
right?
And the whole feeling in the company just lifts.
Yeah.
The next day. And some of those things are, you know, they're criticisms.
Yep.
And we print out the criticisms because we know the answers already.
Right.
And some of them are just fantastically nice things. And to have a community of people that care, I think, has made Fable 2 a much better game.
Yeah.
Not only is some of the ideas that we've taken from the community and some of the things that the community has shouted about, especially for what we did, mistakes we made in Fable 1.
Right.
Have really shaped the game, but also the idea that you've got people who are enthusiastic. It just drives you through the night.
Yeah, I mean, the passion that we have around the Xbox is amazing, and then when you look at the individual titles, it's really great to, you know, the Halo crowd and the Call of Duty crowd, which is very much different from a Fable crowd.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
you know, in Fable you're shooting things and whatnot, but you're also developing your character and you're going through. You showed an interesting demo at GDC about a character. Now, first of all, can you play as a male and a female?
You can play as a male or female.
Because I know a lot of women that I know, a lot of lady gamers, girl gamers are going to be excited about that. But in at the GDC demo, you showed where the main character had been away from their house for a long time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they came back, mm-hmm. and it was fascinating. Why don't you walk us through what happened?
Yeah, what happened is what we wanted to show at GDC is, I mean, normally you stand up at GDC and you show all the demos and it's all the, you know, bells and whistles and, you know, bright lights and everything to do with combat and the combat moves. And what we thought was, you know, really we need to show off how amazing our simulated world is.
Right.
And we could have taken people through and shown, you know, what it's like when the farming community gets up in the morning and when they start farming the fields.
Yeah, the sun coming up
and all of that. That's nice. But why not show them what happens when something goes wrong with your family? There's a couple of confessions I'm going to give here that you probably didn't know about. So what we did in this demo, we had, I'd started the game as a woman. I'd gone out. I'd chatted this man up. We'd got on really well.
Uh-huh.
In Fable, you've got romancing points.
Mm-hmm.
One of the romancing points was on this bridge in a place called Oakvale, and I'd taken him to this bridge, and then I'd asked him to marry me, and he'd accepted, and we moved into this little place in Bowerstone, little hovel,
mm-hmm.
just one bedroom, one room shack, and then I got more money and moved him into a farmhouse. We had sex, mm-hmm. and all done in the best possible taste, by the way,
right?
and a little baby boy was born,
right.
That means I was, for a brief time, pregnant as a hero.
Right.
I'll talk about that later.
Wow.
And everything had gone swimmingly. And then over 5 years, this little boy had grown up to a 5-year-old. What my husband didn't know is that I had another husband.
Oh, no.
In another town.
Interesting.
And this other husband, I had two kids. And
your two kids?
My two kids.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was a lot nicer to me, to be honest with you. This husband that I'd met, first of all, was a bit of a nag.
Right.
So in the demo, I went and visited my original.
Right. Your original husband.
Who I hadn't actually been back to for about 6 months.
Right.
And sure enough, he was nagging me and being rather unpleasant. But my son, who hadn't seen me for 6 months, was really happy to see me.
Yeah,
and
mommy,
this is working under simulation, all of it. So if I'd been back, like, you know, just the day before, they would have been, you know, they wouldn't have been so naggy and the son wouldn't have been so ecstatic to see me. And then, as I was demonstrating co-op, the person who I brought on stage to demonstrate co-op with me had previously, because we'd been practicing this demo for a while, had previously brought out a gun and shot my husband.
Right.
And we thought this was so funny that people should see this. And so we showed what happened.
Right, because it's emotional.
It is. It is emotional. I mean, well, for me, okay, I cheated on him, but, you know, we still had this emotional connection.
Right.
And we had to do one thing, actually, for the demo. We had to take out quite a harrowing little scene where the my son saw his dead father
crying.
And he went over and was sobbing and crying.
That's kind of rough.
It was rough, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because that was really interesting to show how, after being away for so long, came back and was angry.
He was angry, yeah. He was angry.
The character, you know, the husband was angry. Where have you been and what's going on? It was like, wow, this is crazy.
Oh, and it is. And you do get, you know, be careful who you get married to, is my advice, because you do get...
that works in a video game and in real life.
Dude, you do get different personalities. And, you know, you can get people who don't mind you being away.
Right.
And you some can even get people that do mind you being away. And this original husband... had just cause. He didn't know about my other family, but had just cause.
We talked about kicking chickens. Also, might be able to kick chickens in Fable too.
I hate chickens. I've got a good reason to hate chickens. So chicken cruelty has always featured highly on my games. I'll tell you the story why. It's because when I was a baby, my mother used to leave me in my pram down the bottom of the garden, and beyond the fence at the bottom of the garden was a chicken ranch.
Yep.
So I didn't talk. My first words weren't human words. They were clucks.
Like, so you were actually clucking as a chicken.
I was clucking like a chicken.
Talking to the chickens.
Talking to the chickens. And I thought, I've had this unnatural hatred of chickens ever since.
So deep inside of you, there's, you know, from whence you were a baby, was this hatred for chickens. Yeah. Well, now it makes sense.
Yeah, now it makes sense.
So I look forward to seeing what we're going to be able to do with the chickens in the next one.
Yeah.
I'm really excited that Fables 2 is coming out. You know, everything.
Thank you.
It building up to it has just been really interesting to see. And when you announced the arcade, you know, the tie-in, the bringing your game forward, it's got to be exciting for you, to looking forward to be able to finally.
It's incredible. I mean, it's an incredible job to be a designer, to have, essentially, to have a dream.
Right.
Have dreams and have ideas, and then to be able to see those ideas.
Yeah.
And touch those ideas. It's a pretty unique job. I mean, I every day I think I pinch myself and think, God, what an incredibly cool thing to be involved in.
Before I let you go, I have to ask you, you know, with Lionhead, you were independent, and now Microsoft bought Lionhead. Has it been an interesting transition, because you're way over there in England and all those guys are building Fable.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it should be, doesn't it? It sounds like, my goodness, you were an independent company and now you've, you know, sold everything up.
Now the same company that makes SQL Server owns you.
Exactly. I mean, but it's actually not. I mean, we are a little self-contained island, and I think while we're, you know, really professional and we really care about what we're doing, and then I think, you know, people trust us.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of means that being part of a family, it's, you know, 100 times more positive than negatives.
Yeah.
Being an independent is a very scary place to be, especially when you're building big things.
Yeah.
I don't think Fable 2 would be that big, would be this big or this well-balanced or this well-polished if it wasn't for us being part of Microsoft.
Before I let you go, I do have to ask you one question.
Sure.
Have you taken a look at the achievements yet? Are you excited about that? Some of the achievements in the Fable 2?
Yeah, the achievements are... I'd love to tell you about
okay.
it. I want to save it as a surprise. There'll be a lot of spoilers in there. But, you know, just remember that you're going to have some rough rides with those achievements.
Yeah.
That's another currency that I can use to make you care.
Sure.
And how much are you willing to push yourself and willing to sacrifice for achievements?
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to hint at.
Are you surprised with the original Fable, how many people, you know, did the save point and then played it evil and played it nice, you know, played both forks?
You know, the funny thing is that most people, vast majority of people played it good.
Really?
Mm.
Interesting.
The research that we did is about 70% of people who played Fable played it good.
Okay.
And of the remaining 30%, about 20% of them started playing it evil and then switched.
Then switched somewhere down the line.
Switched somewhere down the line to good. And so we're only talking about 10% of the people playing good. Now, what that's meant to me, because I'm a really vicious sort of conniving individual, it's meant to me as I didn't do a good enough job in Fable 1 in testing what good being good really was.
Right.
And in Fable 2, I think of good being truly good, truly pure, what I call pure good, because we have this new couple of new scales in Fable. One of called purity and corruption, and being pure good, so being the most noble, purest of individuals,
mm-hmm.
is all to do with sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
How much are you willing to sacrifice to be good?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And there was one point in the game. In fact, I met with the scriptwriter this morning, and we were talking about a few little tweaks to some of the dialogue in the game. And we both agreed there's one point in the game which is I think the moral is going to test you, and I think it will make you put down the controller and go, What am I going to do here?
You know, you're going to have to take pause.
You're going to have to pause. And if people do that, then I know...
You've done your job.
I've done my job. And if people then go away and they'll say, what did you do here?
Right.
I would have doubly done my job.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to seeing what that point as well.
Thank you.
Peter Molyneux, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you taking time out of your day.
Not at all.
I'm glad we were able to just... Hopefully I can have you on again in the future, perhaps
yeah,
as we
definitely.
Get closer.
Yeah, definitely. When, maybe when we find out how good you really are.
Yeah. Likewise. Well, yeah. How are you going to play it? Are you going to play...
Well, yeah. I mean, I will probably be on the side, because now I can be evil and I can be corrupt. But
right.
I think I'll be more what I call pure evil.
Right.
It sounds
pure evil.
It sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? But at least you've got the courage of your convictions.
Right.
You know, there isn't blood.
Yeah, that's well, that'll be fun.
All right, I think being evil is a little bit it's a little bit interesting. It takes moral fortitude to be evil.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we look forward to seeing that. Again, I appreciate you taking the time, and
not at all.
And we're looking forward to the Fable, the arcade games, and then of course the final version. So hopefully, right. I can get a lot of bang on. We'll see you at
E3.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Thank you to all my guests, including special guest Peter Molyneux, who revealed there. I don't think he's ever told that story about the chickens. Yeah, thank you, E. I think he's going to love you. So hopefully you enjoyed that. And again, apologize for the garbage being emptied in the background. That's what happens when you go out in the field and you record audio, though.
It's the real deal.
So, E, we were just, while I was stopping down there for a second, we were talking about a few things. We actually have some games that we forgot to mention came out this week, like Super Smash Brothers.
Super Smash Brothers is out. My copy's at home. It's sitting on the counter. I don't think I'm going to get to it until this weekend.
All right.
But looking forward to that.
Good.
Although I feel for Nintendo and the online problems they've been having.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we talked about those on the Serious show. It's just that's you know, doing software and hardware is hard.
Yes.
It is what it is.
What else came out this week?
You've been playing the heck out of N+. You want to talk about that map for a minute?
Okay.
That level?
Oh, yeah. So I'm still trying to complete the same level in N+ I was when we did the last show.
Right.
It is the last stage of episode 14. I think it's called Master Control. And it is just ridiculously hard. And I've spent some time Without having beaten the level, if you just go to the main menu of N+, go to leaderboards, and go to the leaderboard for episode 14, you can look at the replays of the people on the top of the leaderboard, how they finished each of those levels.
Right.
The skill level required to do really well on that level is insane. You can't miss a single jump. There are points at a level where you have three missiles tracking you simultaneously. It's just ridiculous, and I can just not pull it off. I'm just not consistent enough.
You've been trying it for days now?
On and off for about a week now. I can only do it for about an hour, and then I just get frustrated and I have to go do something else.
Was that a spoiler?
What?
What you just talked about the map? Because we have to be hypersensitive about spoiler. It's
really hard.
Well, I guess not. Okay.
No, I don't think the fact that it's really hard counts as a spoiler.
Okay.
I hope not. There are a number of really hard levels in that game.
Right.
There are some that you just breeze through the first time, and it's only hard if you want to perfect them.
Right.
That's my phone buzzing.
I tell you, didn't you see? I make an announcement before we record the show. Please shut all your cell phones off.
Well, I had my seat and tray table locked in the upright position, right. So I forgot that.
Okay.
Give me a break.
Anyway, so go ahead.
So some of the levels are easy unless you want to just, nail them in the absolute minimum time possible.
Right.
Some of them like this are hard.
How hard are they?
Still not through it. I did get an exciting N+ achievement the other night while working on it, though.
Really?
Practice makes perfect.
Which is?
Die 1,000 times in single player mode.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. So I was like, I got an achievement. Cool. What's it for? Oh.
Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Yeah, so I guess I have been playing that game a little bit, but I love it. It's great.
I'll take a look at that. I mean, like I said, I played a little bit of it, and I had a lot of fun with it. So I highly recommend people take a look at that if they want to try it. It's constantly one of the top rated games. In fact, I should go back and look at the top 10 for this week.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's a nice. I'm now using it as my cool down game.
Mm-hmm.
Cool down for a while. I also played a ton of Halo this week.
You say that every week.
Well, this week I had a friend who was going to be off the grid for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her I would play a ton of Halo with her before she goes off the grid. So wrap that up. And I'd get in the habit of, I can't go to bed right after playing Halo because I've got too much adrenaline flowing.
You need to wind down.
So I need like an hour of something else before I can actually fall asleep.
Right.
So I've been playing Halo and then going to N+. And that's worked out pretty well, but this one level is just kicking my butt. And I got to get through it this weekend.
I can dig that.
The thing I haven't gotten to, because I was putting so much time into Halo intentionally this week, Call of Duty 4. I talked last week about the one point where I'm stuck on the next to last level.
Mm-hmm.
I was astounded by the number of people who messaged me saying they're stuck in the exact same place or that they were stuck there for a very, very long time.
I got right through it. I don't know what your problem is.
Yeah, but you got through it on the don't hurt me difficulty level.
That's not true. I did it normal.
Try it on veteran. Watch me do it on veteran.
That's why they call
it veteran.
Brutal. Oh. That's why they call it veteran. So there you go.
So for all of you who sent me tips, thank you.
Have you gotten through it yet?
I haven't gone back to give it a shot. It's been about a week since I tried, so I need to get back in there and try it.
Okay.
So
yeah, actually, I was looking at the top 10 this week. I posted the top 10 live games. Games on live. Now, this is not multiplayer games. Some of them are. Some of the lists are. But some of them, for instance, top arcade titles is based on the full versions that are sold. So that's up. Call of Duty is number one. Halo 3 is number two. Guitar Hero is three. Gears of War 4. Rock Band 5. Army of 2. Did we play Army of 2?
We did not.
Who did I play that with? Oh, it was KP and I. We played that this week. You heard about that?
Somebody told me about that. Yeah.
You can actually make your guy play like his weapon as a guitar. It's kind of cool. So we played a little bit of Army of 2, and I had the interview up last week. So I played a little bit before then, but then I went and played it co-op with KP, and we had a good time with that. So Army of 2, FIFA 08 is number 7, Madden 08 is number 8. Oh, I was at a cool top super secret meeting this week that I can't really talk too much about other than saying it was about the next version of Madden.
Ooh.
Yeah, so
this is the 20th anniversary.
It's 20th anniversary of Madden. So I saw some of the cool stuff. I didn't see who's on the cover, so don't even ask me, but I saw some cool stuff that is going to be really cool coming out for Madden.
So 20th anniversary of Madden, that's the one where Peter Moore is going to get me into the Super Bowl, right?
I'll have to talk to Peter about that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what's going to be.
Peter, if you're listening, yeah.
Yeah, Peter's doing that. So, and then number 9 is Rainbow Six Vegas, and then number 10 is Frontlines Fuel of War. So nice to see it kind of crack the top 10 last week. We'll have to see what it does in the long haul. The top arcade title for full versions that were purchased was N Plus, and I don't want to go. You can see the whole list up on the blog. We talked about a lot of stuff. One of the pieces of content that came out this week, came out on Thursday, is the Guitar Hero 3 Dropkick Murphys track pack.
Which, when I saw that on your blog, I was like, the what?
Well, that's why I had to put it just in time for St. Patrick's Day, because a lot of people didn't realize that it was St. Patrick's related.
Well, yeah, and now that you've told me that, I'm going to go download it, and I'll make sure to have that for my St. Patrick's Day party, but I did not realize that's what it was about.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of people that were posting on the blog from, like, Boston, where there's a lot of Irish Americans.
Boston.
I actually have a guy that calls in. If you listen to my Sirius show, I think his name is Joe from Boston, he calls in. I just love this guy, because he's wicked awesome. He's wicked awesome. So, love that guy. So anyway, that's Guitar Hero 3, and we'll see what else is happening.
While we're on the content story.
Yes.
Mass Effect.
Okay.
They had DLC come out.
Oh, they did have DLC. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, I haven't played it.
All right.
So I still have not given Mass Effect its due. As much as I want to play it, I'm a little scared.
Why are you scared?
Because I will lose a lot of time. I can't afford to lose 50 hours of my life right now.
Yeah, let me back up a little bit. I think you can, because Halo 3 will go on without you.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Halo 3. I'm mostly done with Halo for a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
So I'll be playing Call of Duty and Frontlines and other stuff for a while, but just the time investment of an RPG,
right?
It's not going to come out of my multiplayer time, because that's socializing with friends. I'm not going to give that up.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't come out of my sleep time, because there really isn't any of that.
Mm-hmm.
It can't come out of work time, so unless I give up eating, I don't know when I'm going to play it.
Okay. Well, it's the the downloadable content is it's called Bring Down the Sky, and it's available for 400 points on the arcade, up on the marketplace, and you download it. And I actually did a Major's Minute on it earlier in the week about one of the problems you run into when you download the content is, where the hell is it? How do I find it? So I talked about that, and you have to go to the galaxy map. The problem is you don't get the galaxy map until you can unlock it, which is like 45 minutes in, 45 minutes to an hour in, depending upon how you play.
So it says there that it's Batarian extremists.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like worshippers of Batman?
No, that's the name of the race. See? They got four eyes, two noses, and a mouth.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So download that. That's available for those of you that like Mass Effect. And boy, there are a ton of you there. So, all righty. You know, I played Bully this week.
You did?
Yeah, I did play Bully. I played a little bit of Bully and...
So you're now one of the people that understands that the point of the game is not to bully people. It's actually to stop bullying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More people should know that, like people who are trying to ban it.
Yeah, they play the game.
Yeah,
play
editorial.
Thank you. That editorial. This editorial does not necessarily reflect Microsoft, its partners, its companies, its games, anybody else.
It's just E. Yep.
We're going to stop right now, because we're going to play Name the Game. We're going to play the piece from last week, which I was really surprised somebody got. I was really, really surprised that somebody got this. So here's the Name the Game sound clip from last week. That was Name the Game for last week. E, that was Star Trek Legacy. Did you recognize that?
I did not, but you got to give that game credit for having the red shirt achievement.
Yeah, bonus points there. So congratulations to Pistol Whipper, there's all sorts of zeros and E's and whatnot in this thing, so... Yeah,
we never get simple gamer tags as winners.
I get a lot. Yeah, exactly. I was actually surprised that somebody got this one, because this one was actually relatively difficult, I thought.
Well, you would think Star Trek, with our audience, that a lot of them would get it, because I was a Trekkie growing up.
Yeah.
I know lots of our listeners are, but that was a hard one.
Speaking of that, a friend of mine gave me this book, Just a Geek, by Will Wheaton, who was on Star Trek Next Generation, who's a listener to the show, friend of the show. He... I'm going to read this, because I have not read this yet. I'm going to read this while I'm away next week, and I'm excited about that. I'm going to get Will on the show as well.
That would be cool.
Yeah,
and after you two met via Twitter, it's appropriate.
Yeah, that Twitter experience, that was way too geeky. So congratulations, Pistol Whipper. You're going to grab yourself a Turtle Beach X1 headset, which is perfect for gaming at night, alone, or doing whatever you're going to do. I don't know. It's great, though. So
what?
What?
Where were you going?
I don't know where I was going. Okay. I have no idea. Sorry. It's a great little device. Let's just say that. I'll send that out to you. I'll be in touch. And that clears the way for Name the Game. Now, this one is going to be sitting out there for a couple weeks, because we're not doing a show next week. So this one, you've got a couple weeks to figure that one out and send me email. So here's the clip.
Is this legal?
You think you know what that clip was? Send me an email, major@xbox.com. major@xbox.com is my email for this and every correspondence, but don't send it right now because I'm away. Probably by the time you hear this, I'm going to be out of the country, but I'll check my email when I get back. Send me what your guess is, name the game, colon, your guess, and then in the body, put your gamer tag if you have one, as well as where you're from. Bonus points if you're from the Caribbean, because that's where I'm going this week.
Are there really listeners to this show that don't have gamer tags?
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
They should go get one. Go to Xbox.com, get a free silver account. Come on.
And you're good to rock and roll. Usually after we play Name the Game and we award a winner and play the next one, we do Xbox 101, and that's precisely what we're going to do right now.
Xbox 101, this time with E and Major Name.
Xbox 101 for this week. This one actually is something that I had to take advantage of myself the other day, and I realized that a lot of people do not know this, and it's a nice little way to make your life easier.
All right.
It's about Xbox.com. Go to Xbox.com,
mm-hmm.
sign in with your linked gamer tag,
mm-hmm.
and on the homepage where you've got, you know, your profile and all those kind of things, and you can do things like set your motto, you know, those kind of profile changes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize you can also enter in prepaid codes there.
Oh, yeah.
And buy points. So the prepaid code entry is really handy. If you've gone to, you know, GameStop, Target, whatever, you've bought yourself a point card, they have those 25-digit codes
mm-hmm.
that are all, you know, AX3BJ, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a pain to enter in.
Do you know what they call those?
5x5s.
5x5s.
Yep.
That's right.
Five
internally
five
we call
characters.
Them 5 characters by 5 characters. Or 5 groups by 5 characters.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
That's just the trivia for the day for everyone out there.
Yeah. Now they feel like they're really on the inside because they know about 5x5s. Mm-hmm. So if you need to enter a 5x5, there's a couple ways you can do it. You can use the virtual keyboard with your controller.
Mm-hmm.
The way I used to do it was I'd plug a USB keyboard into the console, do it that way.
Or
go to the website, xbox.com. Go to the redeem prepaid code option under account management.
We got to go to your My Xbox section, first of all.
Yes. Okay. Go to the, well, we covered that. We've been bouncing around. So go to Xbox.com, click the sign in button, log in with the Passport or Windows Live ID that's linked to your gamer tag.
Mm-hmm.
And then from your My Xbox page, you'll see a bunch of options.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is redeem prepaid code.
Yep.
And you can just type it in on your computer. Much easier than doing it from the console, and then that will go directly into your account, and you can go redeem those points on your console.
And you're off to the races. So it's pretty easy. Log in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the little green arrow pointing down. Click that, go to Manage Profile, and then on the right-hand side, you'll see Gamer Profile, Group, Account Management, Group, and Preferences and Registration. Go to the third one down, Redeem Prepaid Code. You actually add Microsoft points here, but Redeem Prepaid Code, and then, as you said, you can enter the 5x5 using your full keyboard.
Yep, very handy.
So that's the Xbox One for this week, Keith. Thank you for that. Now what do we do? Oh, actually, I know what we need to do. Oh, my screen's going a little crazy. We need to talk about the fact what people can expect on the blog, since I am probably, by the time they download this, I will be headed out of the country for a week or 10 days on vacation, or if you're in Europe, you call it a holiday.
Good for you.
Thank you. I've been talking about this for a few weeks. I'm going to be going on a cruise out of Fort Lauderdale, leave on Sunday, going for, I think it's 7 days, and then I have another day, so blah,
don't,
blah.
Don't get Norwalk.
What?
Don't get Norwalk.
The virus?
Yeah.
No,
it happens to people on cruises.
I don't plan on it. Thank you.
Okay.
So I'll be offline. What does that mean to you, the podcast listener? Well, I'll tell you, it means you're not going to have a show next week, so deal with that. Also, on the blog...
That was kind of harsh.
Well, no. They
just deal.
They're going to deal. Look, there's a lot of shows they can download. You know, I'll put a post up when I leave on Saturday, but if you're really aching to get some stuff, you can go over to the Gamerscore blog. They have a weekly podcast they do that I have not been invited to. I want to point out, folks.
Ouch.
So I just still, unless the invite got lost in the mail, which is fine. But you can go listen to the Gamerscore blog one. We got a of course your regular ones, the One Up Show, and the rest of those. But as far as the blog is concerned, obviously I'm not going to be blogging, but you have offered to step in and update folks if there's a big demo coming out. You're going to take care of the Rock Band content that goes out next week?
I will take care of the Rock Band content. I will. If big things happen as time permits, I will update the blog. It won't be probably as timely as it is when Major does it.
Right.
So you may not see them, you know, the instant the content goes live. But mm-hmm. I will do my best to, you know, kind of keep the flow going.
At least do like a mini E version of a roundup?
Possibly. Yep.
So that's... Well, you're really being noncommittal, aren't you?
I'm just thinking that I want to remind people that, you know, if I get wrapped up with something at work
right.
or I... You know, if you don't see it there, it doesn't mean it's not coming. It just means that I'm in the middle of something and I'll get to it when I can.
And Lithion will probably be helping out as well. So you'll see a few posts up there. But generally speaking, if you're interested in, you know, I'm sure that all you folks have your RSS readers filled stuffed to the brim with Xbox 360 news feeds from Xbox 360 Fanboy, Joystick, Kotaku, Evil Avatar. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Destructoid.
Can't yeah. forget those guys. Of course, as I said, Gamerscore blog, Trixie blog. Trixie has a blog. TrixieBlog.com. E does not have a blog.
No, I really don't.
He doesn't want one. He's not interested. His job is to keep the service running, among other things.
All the really interesting things I have to say, I can't say if I still want to have a job.
Yeah. If you really want the interesting stuff, I should record our IM conversations. Those are the interesting conversations.
If you really want to know about the interesting stuff, I still have a few jobs open, Microsoft.com/career.
That's right. He's still looking for some good people to come help us build out, continue to build out. Is it snowing out?
No.
Look at it. Looks like
it's not snowing.
Looks like there's white stuff coming
down. Are you
down.
High?
I don't know. I'm just looking outside and I see something.
I don't even see it raining.
All right. Well, maybe in my head it's snowing.
What?
I don't know. Sorry.
You really need that vacation.
Yeah, tell me about it. So that's what you can expect on the blog next week at MajorNelson.com is that E's going to try to jump in and, as time permits, make postings. But I'm looking to you, the community. I talked a little bit earlier about peer-to-peer support. You know, you guys are checking out Marketplace. Go ahead and post in the comments on my going away. Major's gone fishing, I think is what I'm going to call the post.
Except you're not going fishing.
No, well, that's the honest.
Major's going diving.
I'm going diving and eating on a cruise.
That is really what you do on a cruise, right?
Among other things. Actually, the two things I'm going to do on the cruise, I think I mentioned this last week. I want to read Will Wheaton's book, Just a Geek, because I haven't read that Bad Larry. And then the other thing is I want to teach myself how to use the Canon XTI.
Ooh.
And it makes perfect sense. Let's go on a cruise and learn how to use the SLR.
You'll have a ton of opportunities for great pictures.
Right. So that's kind of what I'm hoping to do is use that week to take photos, have some fun, and so forth. So I appreciate everyone bearing with me while we're gone for a week. We're going to have a great show the week after I get back. I got a ton of cool stuff that I'm lining up already. And when I come back, you know, I'll be back on the grid. So let's be clear. I'm completely off the grid.
Yes.
I mean, that's not checking email, not checking voicemail.
No text messaging.
Well, I may try to turn the phone on when I land into port. And I know, guys, I know people are going to tell me this. Yes, the ship has Wi-Fi and does have internet connectivity.
For like $1 billion a
minute? Yeah, for like $1 billion a minute. Or when I get into port, I may text something up to Twitter. And I will be, you know, maybe I'll send some photos up to Flickr. I'll actually do that from my phone. Keep an eye on Flickr. Assuming it's not too expensive, I may just go ahead and shoot some photos up to Flickr. So anyway, I don't want to talk too much about this because it's boring the hell out of people, I'm sure.
While we're on the subject of cameras, though, did you see that link I sent you yesterday on IM?
I did. It's the new, where the hell is it?
The Canon 890 IS, I think.
Yeah, actually, Denny on our team was looking at one of those.
Because I started out with a 450.
Right.
Now I've got the 700 IS. I've been kind of waiting for something to upgrade to.
Yes.
5X optical zoom, image stabilization, 10 megapixels. When those hit the streets, that may be my new camera.
Well, that's good. Maybe I'll get one of those. I already have the little one. What do I have?
You...
one above yours.
I think you got the 800 IS.
I think so. Yeah. I'm taking both that and my Rebel XTI with me and my lenses on the cruise.
Well, when you actually go, you know, off the boat and wander around and shop and whatever, take the 800 because you can just stick that in your jeans.
Yeah, and away I go.
Or shorts because you're going to the Caribbean.
Yes, I am.
Are you a Caribbean or Caribbean?
I asked you this
person?
Last week. Remember? I think I'm. I think it
you did.
I asked you that. I said, "How do you pronounce it?" You said, "You depends your mood."
Okay.
Caribbean.
I can't remember that far back.
I'm going to the islands. So, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I probably take the little one with me because I'm going to try to do some scuba diving at St. Thomas.
Oh, that's the part of the trip I'm really jealous of. Cruises, just I've never gone on one. Doesn't really sound like my thing.
You know what we should do? We should do an Xbox cruise. Think about it. Wouldn't that be great if we like organized, like, you know, like they do, like the Mac guys do these Mac cruises, and there's always these like special interest group cruises.
Right.
We can go on a cruise with a bunch of listeners, you know, like
the thing to do would be turn it into like a Halo tournament. And when you get knocked out of the tournament, you get thrown off the boat.
Right.
Okay. It's like Survivor, but in Xbox land.
I actually think it'd be pretty cool that way we could bring a bunch of Xboxes, go on a cruise, and bring some games, the Halos and all the rest of them. You know, we'd have to work on live connectivity at $1 billion a minute.
Yeah.
That's not possible. But we can have some fun. Let me riff on that, as they like to say.
Wow.
So, all right, I think we're going to wrap it up now, E. We've already talked some gadgets. We've talked what's going on, what to expect on the blog next week.
One other thing we got to throw out there.
Yes.
So the Bungie guys have been talking.
Yes, they have.
And apparently they want a Hump Day Challenge rematch.
I am hearing they want a Hump Day Challenge rematch. We are currently in negotiations. For those longtime readers of the blog, remember that fiasco.
Oh, it wasn't a fiasco. We beat them.
Yes, we beat them.
Then we sent them black.
I sent them dead flowers.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it was what did I sign the card? Because they used to be one building over from us. It was, I think I signed the card, and just to help you with your loss or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
and they didn't take that well.
No, they didn't take that well. So now they have Luke over there. They've kind of tooled up and gotten serious. So we need to. I think I may need to answer the challenge. So we may maybe doing a future Hump Day with them. I'm trying to round up some of the right people right now. You know, last time I wasn't on the team.
No, and I only played. I played either one or two of the three matches. I don't remember, but I was not on it every round. And I think we know who all the right people are. It's a matter of rounding them up, getting them back in practice, all that jazz.
Do you think we could find some really good Halo players and make them honorary Xbox team members?
I think I do have an intern position open.
That was the whole thing, is they had to be people on the Xbox team, so maybe we can make them honorary interns or... you know, network analysts.
I'm sure I can come up with something
on E's team. Maybe we should find some really good, the best Halo players we can find.
Oh, I bet we could get Walshy or someone to come in for a day.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. So we'll have an update on that when I get back. We're going to wrap it up now, E. And do you have anything to add, Walt, before we bring this boat into port?
I think it's going to be fun blogging while you're gone.
Yeah, be careful, all right? I apologize in advance for anything that he says. So I want to remind
a good sense of humor.
I want to remind everybody that promotional consideration is provided by our good friends at Centricom.net, providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment, as well as CacheFly for their caching services, providing this and many files just like it available globally, quick and easy, as you want it, where you want it, how you want it, when you want it. Right? Does that make sense?
Good to me.
All right. You know who I need to get back on the show? I need to get back... you know what? I'm not going to say it because I don't want to jinx it, but I'm going to work on some things for when I get back. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading the show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint. E, before we go, here's your last chance to say something.
Something.
All right. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you soon, and I'll be back when I'm all tanned and ready to roll. Bye-bye.
How do we do that?
How do we go 40? How do we go that whole length and make a big show like this?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just kind of you and I have. We're like, well, we don't really have anything to talk about. And then it kind of stretches into something.
I mean, we need to worry because if we ever have like a lot of time to talk, we're going to go for like 5 hours.
I know
we actually have content.
There's a lot of folks on the Xbox team that like the longer shows because they have long commutes. And I've had this discussion before. I'm always torn. Do I do a long show? Do I focus on a short show? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I got a message from a guy last week who asked if we could make them 8 hours because that's how he gets through his workday. Even I can't blather on for that long.
Dude, that's not going to happen. We're not going 8 hours.
No. We could talk about the books we're reading, mm-hmm. about the hamburger I'm having on Saturday.
None of that stuff.
Yeah.
So thank you in advance, E, for filling in whilst I'm gone.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to it.
I'm going to take care of some of that stuff and have a little bit of fun.
It would be wrong if MajorNelson.com just went completely dark for a week.
No, you can poke in and do a few things here and there.
I don't think I've ever actually posted there before.
I don't think you have either.
I've edited a couple of your typos.
Right.
But I think that's it.
I think you're probably right. And Lithion will be kicking around as well. He's actually going to be going on spring break as well. He's doing some spring break stuff. So
good for him.
Yeah, so we'll...
I can have spring break?
Yes, I can have spring break. Actually, we got to talk about that right now. Can we talk about that?
KP, if you're listening.
Okay, so why don't you explain this?
Well, in a nutshell,
mm-hmm.
KP doesn't really care for lolcats and lolspeak.
So KP is... He works on the Xbox team. He worked with the guys over at Bungie. His gamer tag is KP. K and the P right next to each other, no spaces.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking to him, and he really hates... He writes the preferred player column on Xbox.com now,
right.
And he hates lolcat speak.
And last weekend, I think last Saturday, I was talking to him about coming over to my place to watch a rugby match with a friend.
Right.
And he said, oh, I'm going to be working all day. I've got all this, you know, CBIT content to get up. I don't know if I can make it. And I asked him in lol speak, I can has CBIT recap?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hear from him again for days.
He's one of those guys that, like, don't you hate it when you're having a messenger discussion with them and they don't even say goodbye? They just, like, log off.
Yeah. He didn't do that, but he proceeded to ignore me for a while.
Right.
For a couple of days.
Right.
And then I may have mentioned to a couple people that KP doesn't like lol speak.
So I want you folks to send KP a message over live. His gamer tag is KP, K and the P right next to each other. So it's really simple to type into the keyboard.
Yep.
And send as many lolcat speak stuff as you want.
Yep. I can has friend request.
Yeah, I can has friend request.
I can has party invite. You have fun, kids.
Yeah, so there you go. This will be fun.
He's going to kill us.
Well, I'm going to be
gone.
You're
not going to be.
He's going to kill you.
He's gonna, yeah. And KP's a little bit larger than I am, so I'm going to have to run
almost
fast.
Two times the size
of
the average human being. He's actually bordering on superhero size.
Well, he was just playing Crackdown again the other day.
Yeah, well, he and I started playing that. All right, E, I'm sorry, but I got one of the biggest challenges I have to do right now.
Okay.
So we live in Seattle. Seattle is known for rain. And the problem when you live in Seattle and it's known for rain, it's been gray for about 100,000 straight days. And I need to go find some suntan lotion before I go on my cruise.
Oh, yeah, that could be a little tricky.
I don't know where I'm going to find that in Seattle, but I'm gonna go do that, and I have to go pack. So.
And if you find any, it's going to be like SPF 2.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, for people who have seen me, I'm very fair-skinned. I don't actually tan. I stroke. I go right to red.
That's not good.
So
you need like the SPF 45.
Yeah, I need to actually put on motor oil on my body or something like that.
Sunblock for albinos.
Yeah. So, all right, man. We're gonna wrap it up here. This is the after show, and it is pretty tough. So actually, before we go, this just came in my inbox.
Okay.
Ozymandias, who works on the live team, he has posted an interesting post. I want to link. I've linked off to it, but go check it out. It's about the Co-op Gaming Bill of Rights. It's really quite interesting, and I'll put a link to that in the link dump. So I put a link on it yesterday, but I want to make sure that people take a look at that. It's about what people can expect in co-op games.
And more games are implementing co-op, and some of them are nailing it, and some are not. People are still learning what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, so I'm gonna post that, and I want to start a discussion of what do people think would be good for co-op. All right, I'm going to let you guys go. E, I'll talk to you later.
Later.